This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. See if you try.
Welcome, feminists, Black America, civil libertarians, to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. Today is August the 24th, 2013. Free Thought Radio broadcasts in Madison, Wisconsin. And of course, welcome and hello to all you listeners in California, in New York State, a number of stations in New York, in Michigan, in central Missouri, and in Texas.
Regular listeners know that Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we have two purposes. We work to educate the public about non-theism and represent the views of our almost 20,000 members nationwide who are non-believers, and we also work to keep religion out of government as our First Amendment requires.
We have a lot of news to talk about today on the state-church separation front, including a federal court decision that allows FFRF to continue one of our lawsuits against the IRS. And in the second half of the show today, we will talk with Hawaii activists Mitch Kale and Holly Huber about an exciting and really unusual lawsuit they have just unveiled that accuses churches of defrauding the government.
Mitch and Holly have filed a QITAM lawsuit. That is not a phrase you hear that much.
Q-U-I-T-A-M.
We had to look it up, and it's the fancy legal way of saying whistleblower lawsuit, alleging that many churches have been cheating the government by underpaying for their rental of public schools. In other words, not paying their rent.
This is an exciting week in history, looking backward as well as forward. August 26th, of course, as all you listeners know, is the anniversary of the 19th Amendment.
So happy Women's Equality Day, August 26th. On Monday is the anniversary of the adoption of the 19th Amendment. What year is that? It was 1920. So it's the 93rd anniversary of adoption of the Suffrage Amendment. And freethinkers know that that amendment was written by Elizabeth Cady Stanton, a agnostic. She's the first person to have called for women's suffrage. She wrote the 19th Amendment, did not live to see it passed. It was almost a century of struggle when it was finally passed in 1920. And we invite you to, I'll be at the Women's Equality Day rally that's being held by feminist groups here in Madison, Wisconsin on Monday. And that will be at noon by the, appropriately, the Ms. Forward statue that was done by a woman feminist back in the 1890s, and it's at the State Street entrance. And speaking of moving forward,
well, also marching forward on August the 26th, the same day this week, this Monday afternoon, will be the official groundbreaking of the Freedom From Religion Foundation's new Free Thought Hall building expansion.
And so it's kind of fitting that that's on Women's Equality Day, a day that was accomplished by many free-thinking women, among others, that we will be moving forward with the future of Free Thought. We'll have a symbolic groundbreaking at 3 p.m. in front of the new area that we are going to do our expansion in downtown Madison.
Who gets to dig the first shovel? You?
I think I do.
Okay. Women's equality.
I got to sign the contractor stuff. And so we'll be having a little champagne with some of our members who show up.
And speaking of marches, this week is the 50th anniversary of the 1963 Civil Rights March in Washington.
And it was on August 28th, 1963, that Martin Luther King Jr. gave his historic I Have a Dream speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And I was at the 25th anniversary. I was too little to be at the first one.
But well, you must have been very little then as well.
I was out of college, and I remember it was very thrilling to be at the 25th anniversary. I'm sorry I can't be at this year's. It's a terribly important year given the decision by the U.S. Supreme Court gutting parts of the Voting Rights Act.
Our daughter, Sabrina, who's 23, so she couldn't have been there with you, was there with me just this last April. We stood on the exact spot where Martin Luther King gave that speech, looking out over the reflecting pool toward the Capitol.
Now, I'd like you to start the show with a joke, and you have, it's not a joke, but a humorous story, right?
Well, last week when we were talking with Susan Jacoby about her book about Robert Ingersoll, there's a story I wanted to tell, but we ran out of time. It's about Ingersoll, the famous 19th century agnostic orator who was hated by churches. And one Sunday morning, many or most of the churches in America decided they were going to pray for Robert Ingersoll. They were going to pray for his soul. So later that day, a reporter went up to Ingersoll and said, "So did you hear the news? They all prayed for you this morning. Did you feel anything? How did you feel?" And Ingersoll said, "Well, I felt kind of like the young woman who was out on her first date with a young man. As they're walking along, he squeezed her hand, and she said, 'Well, that didn't hurt me none, and it made him feel good.'"
Classic Ingersoll. We want to change to news, yeah. And we got involved in something that's been big news nationally and in the state of Tennessee, and it's this judge who interfered with a couple who wanted to, a woman who wanted to name her baby Messiah, which happens to be the fourth most popular name in 2012.
No, the fourth fastest
growing name in 2012. And so our attorney, Rebecca Markert, wrote a letter of complaint to the Ethics Commission, that the Judicial Board that oversees judges.
New at 10 now, a Wisconsin atheist group filed a complaint against a judge who ordered a mother to change her child's name. The group believes in separation between church and state. It wants Judge Luann Ballou to be disciplined.
The boy at the center of a great name debate is 7 months old. His parents couldn't agree on a last name, but in court, the judge ordered they change his first name. Baby Messiah is now Martin McCullough.
I had several people tell me that what the judge was doing wasn't right, and she had no right to do that to us at all.
The Cook County, Tennessee judge said Messiah is a title reserved for Jesus and said her ruling protects the boy who lives amongst a large Christian population.
It could put him at odds with a lot of people. At this point, he has had no choice in what his name is.
The story has gained national attention, including that of the Madison Group Freedom from Religion Foundation, the nation's largest organization of non-believers. Co-president Annie Laurie Gaylor called Judge Ballou unprofessional, and the group filed a complaint with one goal.
To get a finding there that the judge has crossed the line, so that other judges don't feel that they have impunity to boss people around in this manner to promote their own religion.
But his mom, Jalessa Martin, still calls her baby Messiah and plans to appeal the judge's ruling in court next month.
Parents should be able to name their child anything they like, and there is no name that's blasphemous.
That was a story out of Channel 3000 in Madison, Wisconsin.
And then for other news, we had a very good development, not a victory yet, but we did get a green light in our very important electioneering lawsuit that FFRF filed last December over the inaction of the IRS, failing to enforce prohibitions against politicking by 501c3 groups that are churches. And we've got three lawsuits going in federal court over preferential treatment of churches by the IRS. This is the most... This is the biggest one, the hottest one, because...
That's the one people keep asking us.
Well, so many
going.
Churches overtly broke the law last fall, and they have for several years, holding pulpit freedom Sundays and endorsing in the presidential race from the pulpit, which is a total violation of the IRS code, and yet the IRS has suspended action. And so we got this green light from U.S. District Judge Lynn Edelman of the Western District of Wisconsin, which is in Milwaukee, saying that FFRF does indeed have standing to continue our lawsuit. And this standing is the big battle these days, not the merits, it's the standing issue. And what that means is that FFRF will be able to proceed to the arguments to the merits, but more important, we'll be able to proceed. Our attorney, Richard Bolton from Boardman Law Firm, will be able to get discovery, and we will be able to get the evidence that they have in action. We'll be able to see memos and so on. And this is terribly important because just last week, a coalition of evangelicals issued a 60-page memo to Senator Grassley of Iowa and to all of Congress demanding that churches should be given the right to endorse from the pulpit, to be engaged in politics while donations to that church are tax deductible. And it's a really chilling development to see this aggression by this group that's supposed to be in charge of financial accountability. That's what they call themselves. It's a financial accountability group. And there would be no financial accountability if tax-exempt churches could engage in partisan politicking. It would make Citizens United look like child play. So that was very good news on the legal front.
So all we are asking is that the government do its job. We're going to go out of the segment today in honor of Women's Equality Day, hearing the song, part of the song, The March of Women, written by Ethel Smith in 1910. Some of the lyrics
This is the British suffrage movement.
British suffrage, that's right. So part of the lyrics that you will hear are, firm in reliance, laugh a defiance, laugh in hope, for sure is the end. March, march, many as one, shoulder to shoulder and friend to friend.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie.
A dangerous bill to amend the state constitution has been introduced into the Wisconsin legislature this week. It's the so-called Religious Freedom Amendment.
And Assembly Joint Resolution 43 and Senate Joint Resolution 38 is kind of Orwellian. It would amend the beautiful language of Article 1, Section 18 of the state constitution, which is essentially Wisconsin's First Amendment, only much better. With this very tortured language, it's the brainchild of Julaine Appling of Wisconsin Family Action, which is affiliated with Focus on the Family. And it's the kind of amendment that would let personal religious beliefs trump civil rights, for example, let parents rely on faith and prayer rather than carry out their duty to get their children health care, allow pharmacists to refuse to dispense birth control and that kind of thing. And we did ask staff attorney Patrick Elliott, who covers Wisconsin and as part of his job, to testify. It was the first time he testified, and he got coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio, which covered the issue.
The amendment got a public hearing this week. It would prevent state government from withholding benefits, imposing penalties, or barring access to public buildings based on a person's religious beliefs. Opponents of the amendment say the state constitution already provides strong protections for the practice of religion. Patrick Elliott of the Freedom From Religion Foundation says the wording of this new proposal will cause more problems than it solves.
All areas of public policy would be impacted, including a person's right to obtain medication without obstruction. A pharmacist could claim he has no duty to refer to an alternative provider if the pharmacist objects to filling a doctor's prescription. A student not wanting to take a biology exam would be exempt because of her creationist beliefs.
In Wisconsin, it has a long way to go. If it wins committee approval, it must be approved in two consecutive legislative sessions and then approved in a statewide vote. Gilman Halstead, Wisconsin Public Radio.
So kudos to Patrick, and this is around the country, things like this, either as bills or amendments, are being introduced.
And this is not really religious freedom that they want. They have religious freedom. This is a religious exceptionalism or religious favoritism, what they want, to be able to exempt themselves from the law. Coming up in the second half of today's show, we're going to talk with activists, state church activists, Mitch Kale and Holly Huber, about an exciting and novel lawsuit they have taken in the state of Hawaii, accusing churches of defrauding the state of millions of dollars.
The lawsuit that was unveiled this week, it was filed earlier, has resulted in huge media coverage in Hawaii. To set the scene for our interview with Mitch and Holly, who, by the way, are Freethinkers of the Year, longtime FFRF members, and run a state church group in Hawaii. Here is one story, from Honolulu's KITV4.
On the hook for millions, five Oahu churches have been slapped with a lawsuit accusing them of underpaying to use public school facilities.
Mitch Kale has made a name for himself in this town over the separation of church and state, but he says this lawsuit is not about the First Amendment.
This is really a real estate case. It's about non-payment of lease rent and utilities.
It's a rare filing and rather ironic in that Kale is suing on behalf of the state.
Over the past 6 years, these churches have extracted $5.6 million from the Department of Education to the direct detriment of our state's children who rely on those funds.
The suit claims that the churches filed false statements underrepresenting their use of state facilities. The suit names New Hope Ministries, which for years used Farrington High School, Kaiser High School, and Kapolei Middle School for the weekend services.
In one writing on the internet, they'll say one thing, and then in their application to the DOE, they'll say something different. That doesn't happen by accident.
New Hope Oahu at Farrington had a huge roll of keys that they used to access any facility on campus. They used at least 8 classrooms, the gym, the library, the auditorium, the entire weekend. And they did this for over 17 years.
She says the DOE is losing money by renting their facilities and failing to raise their fees and not charging enough for utilities and water. And Kale goes a step further, alleging that the school superintendent of covering up the internal practices.
The lawsuit also named Calvary Chapel Oahu, which rents Kaimuki High School, and One Love Ministries, which operates out of Mililani. Oh, and one more thing. Bickerton said by law, damages in this whistleblower case could be 3 times the amount of unpaid fees. So we're actually talking about $16 million. Back to you.
Pretty exciting. And that's just one of like dozens of news stories, TV coverage.
And print stories
out of Hawaii and getting national publicity. And this is a national issue. It's this misuse of our public schools for churches to hold their worship services. And they raise money and they pay very little. And we get so many complaints about this. So this is a very exciting strategy and exciting development. And Holly and Mitch will be on next to talk about that.
And Mitch talked at our 2011 convention in Connecticut about his previous activism, getting arrested and stopping prayers at the state Senate. And at our next convention at the end of September, we have many more state church activists.
We have, Ellery Shemp, 60th anniversary of Abington versus Shemp, a Supreme Court decision ending Bible recitation.
50th
Bible recitation, thank you. And we have the 65th anniversary of the first major Supreme Court decision against religious instruction, indoctrination in our public schools with Jim McCollum, who was the little boy at the center of that controversy when that decision came down in 1948, which is still good law, which all the other court cases are based on. We have both of those Supreme Court victors coming.
And we're going to show some footage of them when they were young at the time, and then you'll get to meet them. Come to the convention, you'll get to meet them today.
A Peabody Award-winning film about the McCollum decision with the filmmaker. We will have a budding, well, not really a budding, he's an outright teenage state church activist who will be receiving the first Richard and Beverly Hermson Student Activist Award of $5,000, and that is the very remarkable young man, Zach Coplin.
Yeah.
Whom we've had on the show, but he's also been on the Bill Moyer show. He's really making traction. We will have Sarah Paretsky, the Chicago mystery writer. Feminists and mystery people will like to know she's a firm advocate of separation of church and state and getting our Free Thought Heroine Award. Besides Dan Savage, Jill and...
And Dan, by the way, is going to be on our September 7th show, Free Thought Radio.
Julia Sweeney and Jill Sobule and many other... And Sally... Sally Siegel.
Shelley Siegel from Australia.
And you entertaining.
Yeah. So it's going to be a fun time. There's going to be cake. There's going to be music.
And so go to fffref.org and look under the events. It's the last weekend in September.
Stay tuned. We're going to talk with Mitch Kale and Holly Huber. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio. And we're back with Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And why are we listening to whistling music?
Whistling music. That's the cast from Glee singing the song Whistle, because we're going to talk about a whistleblower lawsuit. Annie Laurie, you and I have been keeping a secret for a number of months now that we learned when we were in Hawaii last January about an exciting lawsuit. And now the cat's out of the bag and it's creating news around the state.
Various churches are being sued, accused of ripping off public schools.
The lawsuit was filed by members of Hawaii Citizens for the Separation of State and Church. They claim churches have shorted the Department of Education more than $5.6 million in unpaid rent and charges.
Holly Huber and Mitch Kale are with the Hawaii Citizens for Separation of Church and State, longtime activists, longtime members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Mitch spoke at our 2011 convention in Connecticut, where he got the Freethinker of the Year for ending prayers at the Senate there in Hawaii. So both of you, Holly Huber, Mitch Kale, welcome to Freethought Radio. Aloha.
Aloha. Thanks so much for having us.
Good morning, guys.
It was nice to see you last January when we were there, and you told us the secret about this lawsuit, and we've been holding our tongue for how many months now, and now the cat's out of the bag. So tell us about it.
Well, we have actually been keeping this under wraps for over a year and a half as we've been researching churches' use of public schools here in Hawaii. Hawaii has the 10th largest school district in the nation because we have a statewide school district, and we do have a policy where community can use our public schools when the students aren't using it. And there's a rental and utility fee schedule. So, you know, it's above board. We have a lot of community use of schools, but we had noticed that churches seem to be very heavy users of our public schools, and in particular a church close to our home in downtown Honolulu seemed to occupy a public school campus for an entire weekend. It was a huge extravaganza with tents set up all over the lawn, vehicles parked, shuttle service, a huge jumbotron set up on the lawn where they were selling, you know, food, and it really looked more like a carnival than what you'd think of a church service. And so we started to look into the use of public schools by churches, and just to see what, you know, if they were being treated fairly, if the laws were being applied. And of course, we found out that churches were getting extreme, privilege and preference over other users, being given discounts, and that churches were not paying their fair share, that they were actually underreporting their hours. This particular church I'm mentioning is New Hope Oahu, which was setting up at Farrington High School, and they were only claiming 7.5 hours per weekend, when in fact they were there using the auditorium for more than 24 hours a weekend. So they were only paying for 7.5 hours and using the facility for the entire weekend.
New Hope is a big four-square Pentecostal church, if I'm right.
Correct, and it's Hawaii's only mega church.
So here's a question. A lot of churches actually set up shop in public schools. They don't even own their own buildings. They use our public schools not only to have the church, but then they raise money. But if you're a mega church, why do you need to take over a public school?
Well, you know, real estate in Hawaii is very expensive.
Uh-huh.
And this church has gone on record in news interviews saying that they don't want to spend their money on buildings and land, that they'd rather invest in their ministries. And they found a really good deal with our public schools. We have a Farrington Auditorium is the largest auditorium in the state at a public school. It held, I believe, over 2,000 people. And they got the rent dirt cheap. It was air-conditioned, yet they weren't paying any utilities. So they had a sweetheart deal. They worked things out with the principal. They had a set of keys to every facility in the entire campus. They installed huge storage containers throughout the campus. They actually had eight large, these are like big metal storage containers that fit on the back of a semi-truck. They had eight of those scattered on the campus to store their equipment, and they had free rein of the campus and used the auditorium all weekend long.
And
so they did
every
this
week.
For 18 years, if I could interject.
18 years.
So this isn't just like a one annual thing. This is every weekend.
Doesn't the law say they can use it for like a 1 year or something?
Yes, the law, there are a couple rules and laws in place. One is that continuous use that exceeds 12 consecutive months has to be approved by our Board of Land and Natural Resources, which is a state board. There's no evidence, we looked into that, there's no evidence that any church has ever received approval from our state Board of Land and Natural Resources. Then there's a second limitation, which is a 5-year rule, which we found out was based on an attorney general's opinion, which of course is based on Supreme Court law, where they said if a church is allowed to operate in a public school for more than 5 years, it starts to become established, and that would be a violation of our Constitution. So there's supposed to be a 5-year limit, but there's no evidence that has ever been enforced.
So you guys, we taxpayers, are subsidizing Christian ministry.
Absolutely. And some of these ministries are the worst of the Christian ministries. You mentioned Foursquare Pentecostal. These are the same churches that rail against gays, that are against women's rights, that really have horrible social agendas. And they're the ones using our public schools, misstating their use so that they're underpaying and avoiding payments. They're crafting deals with schools so that they don't have to pay their fair share. And when they don't pay, then our taxpayers are subsidizing these churches.
Now, can you explain, I mean, this is just, you're giving one example, but you have a new kind of whistleblower lawsuit that's called, if I've got that right, QITAM?
That is correct. A QITAM is Latin for the whistleblower lawsuit, and what it allows us to have standing, because as you well know, getting standing in state church separation issues can be very difficult. This is not a state church separation issue. As a matter of fact, this doesn't have anything to do with religion. It has to do with real estate. So our whistleblower lawsuit allows us to sue on behalf of the state of Hawaii to recover money that is owing to our public schools. And in this case, it's $5.6 million. And the church I mentioned, New Hope Oahu at Farrington High School, that's our largest violator, and we have estimated they owe more than $3.2 million over 6 years.
I saw the pastor of that church, Wayne Cordero, going, he made a video defending their actions, and instead of treating this like a whistleblower real estate lawsuit, he's treating it like it's a crusade against Christianity. Dave, do you have that clip of Pastor Wayne Cordero?
We have dealt graciously with this kind of harassment in the past, but this time we will take a very aggressive approach against these suits that disguise this ideological jihad against God-loving families.
So you guys are committing an ideological jihad.
I think we kind of wonder what else is he going to say to defend this horrible abuse of our public schools. He's in a terrible position where he's literally been caught stealing from our school children. And I think he has to come up with a spin on this issue. The media has been very, you know, going after him very hard with a lot of articles. We've been all over the news and the newspapers. getting into the details of the case. And, of course, we have a 2,242-page report full of evidence of their wrongdoing.
How
and
long
all
was that?
He has
Say
is
that again.
Preaching. Pardon me?
Say that again, Holly. How long is that complaint?
Our relator's report is 2,242 pages.
Hmm. So
and
how...
although our lawsuit focuses on the top five offenders, three of which are New Hope churches. There are another 35 that we investigated, and there's at least another 90 that we're in the process of investigating for to recover money for our public schools.
So there's over 100 churches where you think this is going on, but your lawsuit is encompassing about 40?
Our lawsuit only encompasses the top five.
Top five.
We had to start somewhere, and the top five equal $5.6 million in damages, whereas some of the 35 churches, the damages are considerably smaller.
The media seems to really like this story. Let me read what reporter Ian Lind said, writing for the Honolulu Civil Beat. He wrote, "This is a tale rich in documentary detail, heated religious rhetoric, bureaucratic stonewalling, political pressures, constitutional debates, power and money and more. Watching this lawsuit move forward is sure to be rewarding on many, many levels."
Well, we will come back after this break to talk with Holly Huber and Mitch Kale of Hawaiian Citizens United for Separation of Church and State to talk about this very historic, ingenious QITEM lawsuit to ferret out these major abuses of misuse of our public schools.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio. And that's Keola Beamer and Raiatea singing in Hawaiian the song Imagine, Ina. Welcome back to Free Thought Radio. I am Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And wouldn't it be nice if those songs were being sung in the public schools instead of church songs?
So we are talking with Holly Huber and Mitch Kale about their historic QITEM lawsuit. They are with Hawaii Citizens for the Separation of Church and State. Welcome back to Free Thought Radio, both of you.
Aloha.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, Mitch, I think that you are going to explain to us the technical issue here, that this was under wraps, but you filed this case in the spring and it's only gone public now. What's going on there?
Well, when we first looked at these churches, we were thinking about approaching it like we would any other case that a church-state activist would under the First Amendment. But after we saw how much money was involved, our attorney suggested to us that this might be a QITEM whistleblower case. And so if any activist thinks they have a QITEM whistleblower case, the very first thing they want to do is keep secret. Because one of the issues with a QITEM whistleblower case is that there is a public bar, and that is that if it becomes known in the public, like in the newspapers or a reporter gets a hold of it, then you lose the right to file the case. And so what we were able to do was to do research for a full year before we even filed the complaint. And what we did is in March of this year, we filed the complaint. And under QITEM law, when you file a complaint, it is filed under seal. And what that means is only the judge gets to see it and the defendants do not. So for 5 months, we had our case in front of a judge, although she wasn't reviewing the case, she just had it under seal. And the churches and the defendants in this case did not know that the case existed. And what happens there is during that time while it's under seal, the attorney general of the state looks at the case and decides whether or not the state wants to intervene, meaning whether or not the state wants to become a plaintiff in the case. Now, in our case, after 5 months, the attorney general declined to intervene.
Really?
And we believe that this is for political reasons. But what happens when the state declines to intervene, the plaintiffs, in this case, Holly and I, we are able to bring the case forward representing the state. So the title of this case right now is The State of Hawaii versus New Hope International, et al., for the rest of the...
So you're not That's suing the cool. state. You're suing on behalf of the state. That's interesting.
Correct. And under QTAM law, we actually become deputized attorney generals.
Wow.
Meaning right now, we have all of the power that a deputy attorney general does. We can issue subpoenas. We can issue summonses. And we can do an investigation with the power of the state behind us. Now, we do have one of Hawaii's best attorneys. That's Jim Bickerton. And he's going to lead the way on this. But in the end, what it really is we have the power of the state behind us. And that is a very powerful tool, and the churches have to beware because we will be coming with subpoenas. I believe in 20 days we'll be able to begin discovery.
Discovery, I was going to say that's the big issue. That is super cool.
We had never heard of a QTAM case before. Our lawyer introduced us to it. We kept it secret. We filed it under seal. And then just last week, the judge lifted the seal, and that's why we were able to have a press conference and break this out to the media.
Now, for anyone tuning in late, let's summarize what this lawsuit's all about. Holly or Mitch, either of you.
Why don't you tell them, Holly?
What happened is we found that there were churches caught stealing from public schools, and we filed a whistleblower lawsuit to get back $5.6 million in unpaid or underpaid rental fees and utilities charges that the churches had underreported or avoid paying to our public school system. And this lawsuit, although it only addresses the five top offenders here in Hawaii, there are many, many, literally hundreds of churches operating in public schools that appear to be getting special privileges, discounts, or misstating the hours that they're using the schools. And what's happening is our public schools are then having to subsidize these religious services, and the taxpayers are having to pay for the rental and utilities costs of these churches using our Hawaii public schools.
And that's in violation of this fundamental precept, you know, that Thomas Jefferson wrote about in the Virginia Statute of Religious Liberty, that's in a lot of our state constitutions, that nobody shall be compelled to attend support
place of worship.
A place of worship. And here are taxpayers doing this, and it's not just in Hawaii, it's everywhere.
It is. And what we found here in Hawaii, we have some churches, there's one church in particular that has used the same public school for 28 years. Mm. And when you have this long-term relationship, it becomes very cozy, and you have a lot of entanglement. We have evidence of churches offering public schools chaplains for their football teams and leaving their materials up, you know, all the time, and leaving Bibles in the classrooms and doing a lot of outreach into to the public school students, which is completely inappropriate. There are churches mentioned in our public school newsletters. There's a lot of entanglement that we do not actually address in this lawsuit because we're focusing primarily on recovering funds for our public schools. Had we brought a state church separation lawsuit, we would not have been able to recover the funds. And $5.6 million is a lot of money for our Strap public schools, and we really want to get that money back for the kids. And
well, I want to interject also that $5.6 million is the actual damages. In QTAM cases, if you litigate and it goes to court and you get a judgment, the damages are tripled. Huh. And so we're talking really about a $16.8 million liability for just these five churches if they go to court. So there's a big incentive for them to get around and to settle this case so that we can get the money back in the hands of the schools and move on to the other churches.
Well, they'll go bankrupt.
We're not going to stop with these five.
Can they hide under bankruptcy?
Well, you can always do that in a civil case, right? But these larger churches in our top five are the churches that have the greatest assets. And
they can afford to pay, in other words.
They can indeed afford to pay. I will give you an example. The pastor of this New Hope megachurch, which claims to have 19,000 members on Hawaii in Hawaii, lives the high life. He owns a beautiful horse ranch in Oregon. And he owns a million-dollar condominium right here in town. And guess what he does? Every week he flies back and forth to Oregon. He lives in Oregon and comes in for the weekend services. And he's been doing that for years. He's a very wealthy man. And he owns lots of businesses that people in his church, when they've passed on, have contributed. So the assets are there, and they need to pay up.
Well, maybe he's wealthy, but his God is poor. He can't provide enough money for the church to buy their own property.
That's yes. A good point. It happens. It just happens that New Hope Oahu operates 17 different churches and public schools across the islands. Now, our top five churches and public schools are, in fact, here on the island of Oahu, but we have found abuses across the island chain on the Big Island of Hawaii, on Maui, and on the island of Kauai. So this is a widespread problem, and in trying to address it with the Department of Education, we've just been stonewalled. Instead of working with us or trying to fix the problem, they've made no attempt whatsoever to get back any of this money that they're owed. And in fact, they're trying to change the rules so that churches can take even more money away from our public schools. I do want to clarify one point. People seem to misunderstand. They think that because public schools are not being used on the weekends, that they tend to sit idle on Saturdays and Sundays, that when a church or any community group uses that public school on the weekend, it's somehow a moneymaker for the school. This is a misperception. Here in Hawaii, we have strict laws.
We're out of time, Holly. Sorry, we have to cut you off.
I'm sorry, but yes, it's taxpayer subsidy. And congratulations to you both. And we'll be carrying more news about this in Free Thought Today. I'm sure you can go to your website to find more information. Thank you again, both of you.
Thank you, Dave McCann, for producing. Find out more about Free Thought Radio at ffrf.org/news/radio.
As for more information, join us at ffrf.org. You can always phone 1-800-335-4021 to leave a message, but go to our website, ask for a sample copy of our newspaper. We'll be talking to Dan Savage on September
7th.
7th. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday